As we put on the last piece of our armor, which is the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 6.
Amen. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." You may be seated. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm glad that you are here. I love this season where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Amen. He didn't stay in the grave. But he is alive, and he is alive forevermore. And so join us next week as we have our Easter service. We want you to be here. It's going to be a great service. Amen. So turn to your neighbor and say, "It's going to be awesome. And I want you to be here." All right. Amen. And so we've talked so far a great deal about the armor of God. And we talked about the belt of truth. We live in a world where we get on social media, and we get on Facebook, and we don't quite know what is true, right? Because you can tell a fishing story. You can say, "I caught a fish, and it was this big." You can make that fish appear to be this big when really it was probably about this big, right? But it looks good on Facebook. And so we have a hard time discerning what is truth. Is this true? But one thing that is for sure, and one thing that is constant, is the truth that is found in God's Word. I love the fact when you open up the Bible, the very first thing it tells you is where you came from. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. We know that as the scriptures go on and tell us that God created man in his image. And so from the very beginning, we find out that we are created by God and that we are created for a purpose. Whereas this world would tell us, "No, you evolved from monkeys and you evolved from this and you evolved from that." They might have done that, but I came from God. Amen. God created me. God formed me. God, while I was in my mother's womb, God formed me and he gave me the talents and the giftings that he wanted me to have. While I was there, I'm holding on to truth. And so we talked a great deal about the belt of truth and how necessary it is for us to walk in that truth this morning. And so, we talked about the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, quenching those fiery darts of the enemy. And so today, we're looking at the offensive piece of armory that God has given us. All these others that we had talked about were defensive pieces of armor. And so we're going to look at the only offensive part of the armor, which is the sword of the Spirit. And so whenever I say offense and defense, defense is like you're taking the blows, right? You're taking the shield was meant to quench the fiery darts. The armor on the helmet was meant to block the blows from the enemy from getting into your mind. But now The Lord says, I'm not only going to allow you to just stand there for it and take it from the enemy, I'm giving you a weapon so you can begin to fight against the enemy. Amen. And so that's the awesome part of this armor that the Lord has called you not only to stand there for, but to stand and fight. We have to fight. You have to fight for yourself. You have to fight for your kids. You have to fight for generations to come. So it's imperative that you pick up the sword and begin to fight. Now, one thing that we learn right off the bat is that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And so if there's any question of what the sword is, it is the Word of God. And so he makes it very clear. It's not human invention. You know, it's not something made up by human beings, but it is the inspired Word of God. Now, we know that humans have written many books of the Bible. But it was all divinely inspired by God. It is God's infallible word. We know that's a whole nother series where we can prove how the Bible is God's word. And it's so powerful. My wife and I were talking the other day about all the prophecies that point towards Jesus and how he completed every single one of them. He fulfilled every single prophecy that was foretold in the Old Testament prophets. Hundreds of prophecies, and Jesus fulfilled every single one of them. No other book does that. You know, Stephen King doesn't even come close to writing as the Bible is written. Amen? And so the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It is the written Word of God. But it is also the rhema word of God, where God will speak something to you, right? Like he will speak something into your heart, and you just know this is God. That is also the word of God. And so there's the written word of God, which we have, the Bible. Then there's the unwritten word, which he speaks to us on an individual level. Both are inspired, and they are divinely inspired and come from God. And so when we look at the book of John, the book of John also tells us that Jesus is the Word. He tells us this. And so he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so Jesus was in the beginning before the beginning had a beginning. All right? And so Jesus and God are one. And so he was there whenever he spoke and planets were formed. Jesus was there. He was in the beginning. He is the Word of God. He is the Word made flesh. He came. The way that we come to know God is that Jesus he walked a physical life. He was in the flesh. He had a physical body. That's how we come to know who God is. And so this word of God is given to us. It is a sword. Swords cut. Now, I had a samurai sword. I was going to bring it. But the reason why I bought this samurai sword earlier on was because I was inspired by the fruit ninja little thing way back in the day when you would slice up watermelons and such. I was like, you know what? I bet a samurai sword would be really cool for slicing watermelons, right? And so I bought this samurai sword specifically to slice watermelons. And I'm like, all right. And so I set up my watermelon on my little outdoor patio that we had. I said, we're going to try this out. And don't you know, the very first strike, I mean, it cut the watermelon, but, you know, I failed to think about what was underneath the watermelon and pretty much damaged my sword, like, on the very first blow. But I was inspired by the Fruit Ninja series. I was like, you know what? I can do that, you know. Get a sharper sword is what I would say, because this thing was, it was cheap. It was a cheap sword. Get a good sword. Know your sword. So the swords are powerful, and they're able to cut. And the book of Hebrews describes the sword or the word of God as living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to cut deep. It's able to cut precise. It's able to get to that very same, you know, that very thing that you were dealing with. And so, interestingly enough, when Paul would have been writing this, he would have observed the Romans, of course, and their the way that they had armor and the way that they used armor. And it's interesting that he begins to talk about the sword. And this particular sword, we have a picture of this little sword. It's just like it's a short sword. You know, it's made for close contact. It's not like a javelin. A javelin, you can launch it and take out your enemy. This one is made for close contact. In other words, Paul is saying this, that we need to take up the word of God because the devil is going to be right there. I mean, he's going to be right in your business. He knows how to mess with you, and he knows how to mess with you. And messing with you is going to be different than messing with you. And so the battles that we fight is going to be close in the vicinity. And so he says, in the same way, in the spiritual realm, take up the sword of the Spirit and begin to fight. And so the armor that we've learned about so far, we've just been learning to stand against, you know, to stand strong, to stand there for. But now we're like, okay, now we have this sword, the word of God, the inspired word and also the revealed word of God. And he says, pick up your weapon and begin to fight. Now, whenever we think about this truth of God's word, it exposes all lies. When you begin to dive into the word of God, you begin to realize also that everything that this world has told you is a lie. Whenever you read things like in the Bible where it says, oh, that you are to obey your father and mother, right? Then that kind of goes against what culture says, oh, just do whatever you want. Whenever the word says you ought to stay away from certain things, like, oh, well that cuts and that is precise. It cuts in the very direction. It doesn't allow you just to do whatever you want to do, that we are governed by the word of God. And so the word of God is able to pierce. It's able to go deep. It's able to penetrate deeply. It's able to be precise. And so it's not like one of these big swords where we're just swinging it randomly, but we're using a much more precise instrument in making this close combat effective. Amen. And so another thing that the sword does, it brings, or the word of God, it brings victory over sin. It brings victory over temptation. And we're going to see that in a minute, how Jesus began to combat the enemy with the word of God. But first, the thing about having a sword is that it must be known, it must be practiced, and it must be applied. Take, for example, a police officer. He has a belt. And around this belt, he has many different weapons. He has a taser. He has a firearm. He has a billy club. He has handcuffs. He has all these things around him. And he has to go through training to know exactly when to use what item. And because what happens is, in a split instance, in a moment, he has to make a decision, and it has to be the right decision. In a split second, he has to say, will a taser, you know, just calm this thing down right now? Or is more force needed with a billy club? Do I need a billy club to kind of bring this thing in check? Or does he make a split decision and pull out that firearm? And so that's a major thing that he has to do. But whenever he uses each piece of his weaponry, I guarantee you he has practiced with that weaponry. I guarantee you he has spent some time on the range, loading the gun, putting the clip into the gun, you know, cocking it back, aiming it, shooting it, and repeating over and over and over again. I believe that he would have spent days in just perfecting his craft. He would have got very familiar with this taser and how to use it properly. Otherwise, I mean, you point it one way and you think it's going that way and you tase yourself. That would be unhelpful, right? That would be painful. And so he spends hours just studying and knowing his equipment. As a believer, we have a sword, but it does us no good if we do not know how to use it. Like if you're in a situation and the enemy is tempting you a certain way and then you just pull out some random scripture like, do not boil a goat in its mother's milk, then that's probably not going to be very helpful, you know, to your situation as you're dealing with, you know, lust or whatever it may be. And so knowing the word of God and knowing how to use your weapon is imperative. It's vital, right? And even though that's a good scripture and it has its context, right? That's not the one that you need to be quoting right here. You need to know what it is that you are faced with, and you need to combat that very thing with the word of God. Amen. So finding a specific scripture, finding a specific passage that deals with that very same thing that you're dealing with right now. Whether it's fear, whether it's worry, whether it's anxiety, whatever it may be, you find a scripture and you apply it to your life. You take out your sword and you begin to fight with your sword. Your sword on the ground does absolutely no good. And swinging it randomly, just quoting random things, does you absolutely no good. But the thing about it is, as we quote the scripture, the word of God, and here's the thing too, quote it out loud. Because you hear it in your mind, that's one thing. But you need to let the enemy know that you know the word of God and that you're quoting the word of God in that situation. There's something about confession. There's something about declaring it into the open and declaring it to the enemy that this will not be as it was anymore. You know, if you have a diagnosis from the doctor, you're taking out that sword and said, by his stripes, I am made healed. I am healed in the name of Jesus. And you begin to declare the word of God. Brother Victor was telling me this morning that he began to declare God's word over his daughter as she was sick. And he watched God just miraculously touch her body as he began to stand and declare the word of God. Amen. And so we have to know our weaponry. We have to practice with it. We have to apply our weaponry. And one thing that we see, I mean, the greatest example of this is in the life of Jesus and how he used the word of God. So we want to follow Jesus' example that he sets before us in Matthew chapter 4. So what happened in Matthew 4? In Matthew 4, Jesus is led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. He is led there to be tempted by the devil. So put that in perspective for a second. God allowed Jesus, his son, to be tempted by the devil in the wilderness after he had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, one of the very first temptations that Satan came to Jesus with was, if you are the Son of God, why don't you turn this stone into bread? Now, that would have been very enticing. Surely he could have proved right then and right there that he is the Son of God. Surely he could have done it. If he was with God and he spoke the planets into existence at the very beginning, turning a rock into bread would have been nothing. He could have done it very easily. But instead, and after fasting for 40 days, you would have been very hungry. I don't know if you ever fasted that long. I fasted 21 days before, and I was hungry. I was wanting some food. Like, give me some food. Like, I'm starving. And how he crucified even those desires, you know, to eat, to fulfill the word of God. He takes out his sword, and he begins to quote Deuteronomy 8:3, where he humbles him. I'm just going to read it for you. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you that man that does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And so he begins to say, look, we don't live by bread alone. We don't live by that. And so he begins to take out his sword. It is a very direct, it was very specific. It was dealing with what he was facing at that moment. The enemy was coming with him with the temptation for food. And he says, we do not live by bread. And he takes out his sword and begins to fight. And then the next example that we see is that the devil brings Jesus to this high place and says, if you are the Son of God, you know, like testing him, like he doesn't, you know, like he has something to prove to the devil. Jesus had nothing to prove to the devil. He knew who he was. He knew that he was the Son of God, but this is how the enemy comes. He's slick. And so he brings Jesus to this higher place and says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. And, you know, the angels will catch you and they will not allow you to dash your foot upon a rock. Again, taking bits of scripture, twisting it, and trying to tempt Jesus. Jesus once again takes out his sword and replies with the word of God. And he says in Deuteronomy 6:16, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Very specific word, very specific enemy coming at you. And so he uses the word of God as a sword against Satan. And then the last temptation that we see in the wilderness with Jesus, he says, if you just bow down and worship me, as if. But this is what the enemy does. If you just bow down and worship me, I'm going to give you all of this. I'm going to give you all this fame, all these kingdoms. Everything will be yours. Jesus, once again, takes out his sword. You shall fear the Lord, your God, and him only shall you serve. And so at that moment, the enemy fled from him. And so if you're constantly finding yourself losing battle after battle after battle, it's time for you to find scripture, very specific scripture, dealing with your specific situation, and take out that sword and begin to fight. If the enemy is wreaking havoc on your family, on your kids, you begin to take out that scripture, the word of God, the very specific one, and you fight against the enemy. Amen. We must take out our sword. We must learn our sword. We must fight with it, because ultimately victory depends upon it. You know, God has given us this armor for a reason. You may think, well, I'm not going to use this armor. I don't need to pick up the sword. I don't need to put on this helmet. I don't need to put on the belt of truth. This is how God has provided for you to make it. This is how God has provided for you to make it to the end, that you would be protected, but you have to put it on. He's provided the armor. He's provided the sword. He's provided the breastplate of righteousness. He has provided the helmet of salvation. But it's up to us to put it on and take it up. You have to take up the shield of faith. You have to know the word of God. You cannot use what you do not know. You can't just expect to pick up a weapon or a gun or whatever and expect to hit the target if you've never practiced with it before. Another funny story is that I was at the range one time, and I was shooting my gun, and I couldn't hit the target for no reason, you know, nothing, for no reason at all. I mean, I just couldn't hit it, and every time I would shoot, I was off about 2 or 3 inches. You know, if you're off by 2 or 3 inches shooting a gun, I mean, you're off. I mean, you're off bad. And so this policeman, he was so kind, he kind of realized that I was struggling. And so he says, look, why don't you try this Glock? I was like, okay, we'll try the Glock. And so I take the Glock, and boom, every single time I hit the target with this Glock. He knew his instrument. He knew his weapon. He knew how to use it. And so he knew that if I used his weapon, that I would then hit this target each and every time. And sure enough, every single time I was hitting the target. You have to know your weapon. You have to know what it's capable of. You have to know how to use it. And so find scriptures. That's the challenge for you this week, to find scriptures. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, I want you to find a scripture in God's word. And I want you to begin to declare that over your life. I want you, if you have to, tattoo it on your forehead. I don't know. Put it in your mirror. Put it on your car. Put it wherever you see it the most. And begin to declare that over your life each and every day. Begin to declare that over your children each and every day. And believe God's word. You begin to take up God's word and you begin to fight. So whatever that may be. And as we do, you're going to see victory. You're going to see God move in a mighty, mighty way. Just as Brother Victor, he was declaring that over his child, and he's seen God move. He's seen God bring healing to that situation. I believe God will move on your behalf as well. Amen. And one last thing, I just want to see all the kids here. One last thing is that the sword, it works with all the rest of the armor. In other words, if I go to battle with just a sword, I mean, it's a good chance I might get hit from other directions. But if I take on the helmet protects my head. If I put on the breastplate of righteousness, then my chest is protected. If I put on the belt of truth, my waist, my loins are protected. If my feet are shod with the gospel of peace, my feet are protected. So they all work together. They all, you know, all the pieces of the armor work together as one unit to protect you, to enable you to fight against the schemes of the enemy. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spiritual wickedness, principalities, darkness that we cannot see. So our fight is always spiritual. It's not against one another. It's not against other people. We fight a very real spiritual battle. Amen. So this morning, the challenge is to pick up your weapon and fight. The challenge is to find scriptures that are related to your life, whatever it is that you are dealing with. Maybe you're dealing with loneliness, and you're just in a lonely season right now. Find scriptures that say that Jesus is with you each and every day, and you begin to quote that just as Jesus quoted the scripture to the devil. And you begin to overcome those thoughts. You begin to overcome those lies that he's been speaking to you. Maybe it's just been insecurity. Whatever it may be, you don't value yourself the way that God values you. Find scriptures that say, I am a child of God. I am made in his image and in his likeness. That God does not make junk, amen? God does not make junk. Every single one of us that are in this room, he has made you with a plan and with a purpose. You are valuable. You are loved. If you're a Christian, you are sanctified. You're redeemed. You're washed in the blood of Jesus, as we sang about earlier. You take up your sword and you fight. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I want to pray for your church, God. Lord, that we would take up the armor that you have provided. Lord, that we would fight against the enemy. We know that the enemy is not the person next to me. The enemy is not anyone else. But Lord, the person, the enemy that we fight against is the devil. And he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy our lives. But we stand strong, and we stand, therefore, in the power of Jesus. We take up the weapons. We take up the armory. And, Lord, we choose to fight for the kingdom of God. For anyone, God, just dealing with thoughts of the enemy, the darts have penetrated, the fiery darts, and they have been planted in the minds of your people. God, we just cancel those lies right now in the name of Jesus. We cancel the effects of the enemy and all that he has done to destroy your people. We cancel those things right now in Jesus' name. And we declare that we are children of the Most High God. We declare that we are protected by a loving Father. We declare that we are his, that we are the head and we're not the tail, that we're above and we're not beneath. We are loved. We are not forsaken. And you stand with us. So God, we choose today to take up the sword and fight. Lord, we commit to knowing the Word of God. We commit to diving in to your scriptures, diving in to your revealed Word that you have given us. We're so blessed that we have this Bible that we can read, and it's your love letter to the church, but it's instruction as well in how we can live. We thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to dive into that and to know your word so that we can stand against the enemy. Lord, we thank you. I just pray, Lord, blessings upon each and every person, each and every family in this place. Bless them, Lord, protect them, keep them, oh God. Keep them in your perfect will. Keep them, Lord, knowing that they are loved by you, that you have a plan and a purpose for their lives. They are not junk, but you've created them, oh God, for your glory and your glory alone. We love you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in this place today. And let God's people say, amen.